You're listening to episode 82, brought to you by FabFitFun and Lola. For $10 off your first box of FabFitFun, just go to FabFitFun.com and enter the code LOVELY. And for 40% off all subscriptions of Lola, visit MyLola.com and enter the code LOVELY. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa. You can find out more about the podcast at cultivatingthelovely.com, in our Yellow Brick Road membership community at patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely, and in our Facebook group. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram, where you can find me at Mackenzie Coppa. That's MackenzieKoppa. I am so excited for this episode to be bringing you guys someone fairly new to me. I just met her this summer at a little conference that we both spoke at, and it's Ebi Hepworth. She is so much fun, you guys. She's got such a passion for the Lord and has been doing amazing things. Like, I don't know how she does it all. And so it's going to be really fun to be able to share this episode with you guys and hear how she views life and how she is doing all these things that the Lord puts in front of her. But before we get there, I do have to make a little plug for The Same Page, you guys, because it's really doing well. So many families are loving it. And I want you to hear in their words, not mine, what they have to say about it. So I want to read you a little review from iTunes from Langanol, or however she pronounces her name on iTunes. The title is Simply Lovely. Okay, remember, these are her words, not mine. The Same Page has made a world of difference in our morning time. I'm able to sip a cup of coffee while spending quality time with my kids. We're all able to work on memory work, listen to Shakespeare, Bible passages, and of course, Mackenzie's wonderful reading. My daughter runs down the hall begging for the next chapter every morning and actually cried last weekend when she realized she had to wait until Monday. The Same Page has become an instant family favorite, and the timeless quality of content chosen means we could come back time and again and still be able to enjoy the content. Wonderfully done. You guys, this is it. This is exactly what we were hoping for. We wanted it to become a staple in families, something that people can gather around and really take the pressure off mom to have to be delivering the content herself. You guys, I really hope that you're able to hop over and listen to The Same Page and make it a part of your mornings or any time in your day that you want to as well. You can find it at thesamepagepodcast.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, you know, all the good places. And hey, while you're there, you could go ahead and leave a review, and leave a review for this show as well, because you guys are really my marketing team. You are how I get the word out on stuff. So if you feel like you want to be sharing stuff with your friends, I so appreciate it. I just really don't know what I would do without the word of mouth that you guys spread. So thank you for doing that. And I hope you enjoy this show and The Same Page just as much. All right, that's enough of my jibber jabber. Here's Ebi. Welcome, Ebi.
Hello.
I am so excited to have you here today because I finally get to chat with you.
Yes, long overdue.
Yes, we both spoke at a conference this summer, and so we heard each other speak, but didn't actually get to speak to each other. So
yeah, that was a bummer.
I know, I'm so glad to finally be able to connect and chat with you because I think you've got a pretty amazing story. But if people aren't familiar with you, would you introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello, everybody. My name is Ebi Hepworth. E as in Edward, B as in boy, I-E. And Starbucks can never get it spelled right.
Yeah.
It's short for Elizabeth. And I live in Boise, Idaho. I am 26 years old, just a little tiny baby. I have a mother of two. I've been married to my husband almost 4 years this October. And yeah.
Yeah. You've got, but it, that all sounds like very regular until you dive into it because there's so much more than that. So, you know, you call your, first of all, I do have to say, I was cracking up at the conference because you really embrace your millennialism.
And, oh, I'm such a millennial.
Yeah. And I was talking with Haley Morgan the other day. Do you know who she is?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I was having her on the show and we were talking about how we are like elder millennials. Like
we're
at the very, very cusp of when the whole millennial thing started.
Hey, and millennial is a millennial.
No, no. Don't. See, that's what I think is so funny. We're both like, we have to like say, well, we're elder millennials. We came in at the beginning. Like we constantly feel this need to like justify our millennialism. Like we're not like full on millennials. Like maybe there's like this intermediate little like generation in there that we actually belong to. But then there's like you at 26, and I see this kind of across the board. You guys are like owning it. We are millennials and proud of it. So
yes,
I admire you for that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I actually just preached at a conference that was for millennials specifically. It was really funny because it was like, if you're like 36, then you're not a millennial. But if you're 34, you are.
No.
You know, and it was like it was like the limit of who could buy tickets and who couldn't. It was so funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there are stages of millennials for sure. And I think that like 20, like right now, 26 to 30 is kind of like the stigma millennial.
Yeah.
Like coffee shop, extra foam. Take a photo of it and then drink it. Yeah. Kind of millennial.
And like, what age were you when you got your first cell phone?
Oh, see, my dad was super old school. Okay. I couldn't, my freshman year of high school. So like 13.
Okay. And was it a smartphone?
It was not. It was a little T-Mobile brick phone.
Okay. Because I was 16, and it was a Motorola something or other.
One that you play Snake on?
I don't even think I could play a game on it. Like, it was that,
oh my gosh.
That bad and huge and heavy, and I could only have it in the car. Like, I would have never dreamed of having my phone, like, with me in school. Like, what? No. No one would ever do that. You know, so, yeah. That's my millennialism. But it is funny because, I'm a voiceover artist, and whenever they put need a millennial sound, it's like, oh, I'm a shoo-in. So I do know how to do the millennial voice. And people are always like, what? You have four kids? Like, you sound like you're 20.
Totally.
So I'm like, well, as long as I can pull it off for your commercial, that's all that matters.
Totally. For sure. I love that.
So, other than being a millennial, though, you are quite the mover and the shaker. You've done some pretty amazing things in your 26 years. So do you want to just kind of talk about what your professional life has looked like?
Yes. So 5 years ago, a little more than 5 years ago, I helped ignite a ministry called Wipe Every Tear. And I was, it was my first year out of college, and I just knew typical millennial, like, follow your dreams. You don't have to work kind of, and knew I wanted to go into ministry, and nobody really gets into ministry for the money.
Yeah.
So long story short, I felt God lead me to help start this ministry called Wipe Every Tear, and it rescues girls from human trafficking in the Philippines. And so I was the first U.S. employee. I was 21 years old, or 22. I just turned 22. And it was just a total, total step into faith. And I just raised 100% of my support.
Wow.
And it was like such a faith journey. So I would go back to the Philippines. And then we eventually started Safe Homes in Thailand. And my position was basically, it sounds like this very sexy thing, like, oh, you are rescuing girls from human trafficking. Like, what does your day look like? And it was like, oh, sometimes I take out the trash or clean the toilet, and other days I get to share or lead missions trips. But there's no, like, when you're in ministry, you're wearing every hat.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, yeah, I write the emails, but then I also, do the fundraising or whatever.
Yeah.
So that 5 years, we rescued hundreds of girls.
Wow.
What's so special about Wipe Every Tear was that we're really committed to girls through the long journey. So obviously education is a huge part of making sure that girls are able to get jobs and transition into the world when they're rescued. And so what's really rare is a lot of ministries will teach them a trade, which is really, really wonderful. But something that's rare about Wipe Every Tear is that we encourage every single girl to dream. And then we're fully committed to them to be able to make sure that they're continue through college. And a lot of girls are trafficked at a very young age. So a lot of them have like second grade level. So you're committing to being with them for, 5 to 8 years on average. And so it's a really hard strategy because it's expensive to be able to fund girls for that long. And not only that, but then through college. But that's what's so rare about Wipe Every Tear is they're really fully committed to like dreaming with girls rather than saying, this is what you can do. We say, you can do anything. How can we come alongside you?
Yeah.
And so I've just honestly had a front row seat to redemption for 5 years, and it was just my dream. I've always been called to, or just since I dedicated my life to the Lord in college, I was like, I just love the disenfranchised and the broken, and the, because if there's anyone broken, it's me. Like, I can just relate to them. I'm like, if there's anybody more, you know, walking in hurt or whatever, I'm like, this, it's your girl right here. She may look like she's got it all together, but it's a hot mess. So, I relate to so many of the girls that we've connected with, just because I'm like, I get it. And it's a journey to healing and wholeness. And so anyways, it's just been, it was amazing. And when you are trafficked often in the U.S. or anywhere, when you're an orphan or if you're in the foster care system or whatever, you have a huge target on your back because you're quote unquote unwanted. You know, you, when you're an orphan in a third world country, when you age out of the system, then you're on the streets, and then traffickers will prey on obviously the vulnerability, the vulnerable. So my husband and I have always wanted to adopt since I was a little girl. I've always wanted to adopt. And so long story short, we decided to adopt, and we really knew that since we had a heart for the nations, we wanted our first adoptions to be international. And we just felt the Lord taking us to Africa. And so that's a whole nother story I'd love to share. But since I'm talking about my professional career, just earlier this May, I never thought I would transition out of Wipe Every Tear. It really was my heartbeat. It just, it's like I could have done it in my sleep. I had just got it down to, you know, kind of like just routine. And it was really the most rewarding job I've ever been a part of. But while I was in Africa living there with my husband to adopt our kids, I felt God invite me and really like challenge me, like, you know, like, hey, if you, I want to take you on an adventure. I want to take you into building something new with me. And it would have been really easy and comfortable with all of the transitions and craziness of life to say, well, maybe in a couple of years, but I just really felt this urgency from the Lord. And so now I'm on this new adventure, very, very fresh.
Yeah.
Still like in the embryonic phase, but basically it is a new nonprofit, and it's basically the mission statement is cultivating a movement of women unhindered by fear. And not only is it going to be a social justice like vision, and we're going to make sure that we come alongside international justice initiatives, but it's also going to be create kind of a way for moms, whether you're wherever you're at internationally or U.S. or whatever, to be able to fight human trafficking from their home, and what that looks like, and how you can train your kids and like raising up, you know, like how can you come alongside people on the other side of the world practically. And so that's one aspect of it. And there's going to be podcasts and YouTube channels and conferences, and a lot of vision for it. But like anyone who starts something new, there's so many things that go, I mean, I know, you know, there's just so much going into these kinds of things. When you have so much vision and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I need money to accomplish this. Like, how do all these organizations all over the world get all their capital, you know? So, you know, kingdom vision always requires kingdom strategy. So, and I'm just in the season of honestly asking the Lord for kingdom strategy of how is this, you know, I know that this is for you. This is not my own personal egotistical like project of trying to create this little, you know, palace of my own fame or anything. It's like, I know that this was breathed by God. And so now I'm just trying to breathe and be as patient as I can. Of course we want overnight success, but this, something like this is going to be a, you know, a process to say the least. So as far as ministry, you know, and I travel and I speak, and that's something that I just don't ever take lightly. It's such a gift to be able to pour into women's lives. And I know you know that. And I just often, I always am sharing from the place of like, if anyone ever thinks I have it all together just because I'm holding this microphone, please do not be deceived. I have the same insecurities. I have the same, yes, God's given me some things that I would love to breathe into you guys. And I hope it encourages you, but please never underestimate like my humanity. So anyway.
Ladies, one of my favorite sponsors of the podcast is back this month, and that is FabFitFun. You guys, I love FabFitFun. I love getting my box in the mail and having it customized for me and being so pretty. But their fall box is available now. They sell out so fast, so you're going to want to make sure you get in on it before they are gone. And if you're not sure what I'm even talking about, then let me tell you. Because FabFitFun is a seasonal box, so it arrives 4 times a year at your door in its pretty little packaging, and it has full-size beauty, fitness, and lifestyle products. Their fall box is so wonderful. It has products like a vegan leather Vince Camuto tote, a teapot or coffee press. I got the coffee press. I'm very excited about it because I'm going to make cold brew coffee and tea and all kinds of things in it. There's Glam Glow bubble masks, a beauty blender, and that's just the beginning of it. I got a really cute little umbrella that I cannot wait to use. It was like they knew I needed an umbrella to be walking my kids to school every morning. I was just so thrilled with everything that was in there. I got pro makeup brushes. It's just so well thought out. They get such high quality products. I am never disappointed. I love being able to have this treat because as moms, we often don't treat ourselves. We put ourselves on the back burner. And to know that you have this beautiful box where every detail has been picked out perfectly and you can even customize some of the things that you're getting in your box, and to know you're getting that 4 times a year, it's kind of like that future gift you can give to yourself, something to look forward to. So if you want to get a FabFitFun box, get in on this fall box before it's all gone, then make sure that you go to FabFitFun.com and use the code LOVELY so you can save $10 off your first box, making it only $39.99. Again, that's FabFitFun.com and use the code LOVELY to get $10 off your first box. You deserve to treat yourself. I think that's one of the fun things, honestly, about Insta stories, more so than even Instagram, because it's harder to fake it and it's easier to show like those little moments of realness with kids being crazy and, you know, like, hardcore life. I loved when your daughter was wearing the mittens.
Always. Yeah, she's wearing them right now and she can't figure out the iPad and it's hysterical. I'm like, you have to take the mittens off for the iPad. She's like, okay, then I guess I won't take the iPad. I'm like, well, that's one way to do it, I guess.
Yeah, she's committed.
She is.
That's so great. I love that she is that way. So you are doing all that, but then also I want to get to the adoption thing because I think that's pretty amazing. But Fearless Girl, so that has come in kind of with the professional stuff too. What is that? How did that all come to be? Is that part of what you're doing now or the book? Like, tell me all the things.
Yes, all the things. So basically, I have this amazing friend in Southern California. You know, sometimes you meet people in ministry or through social media or something. Somehow you get connected with these people and you meet them and you're like, you're either going to be my greatest rival or my closest friend. Because you are way too powerful to like not be somehow intersected with. And this girl, her name is Esther. She's incredible. I was just totally intimidated by her strength, everything. Long story short, a lot of people kept saying, you need to meet each other. And so she had originally started for this girl years ago as a surf ministry, just connecting with girls on the waves and just sharing the gospel. And it was amazing. And so a couple years ago, we were in the adoption process, actually, and we had just gotten matched with our babies. And I was in Southern California, so my husband and I met her for breakfast. And we had told her, like, we're going to be parents to 2 kids. Nobody knows that you're, like, top first 5 people to know. And in that breakfast, she looked at me and was like, what's the call on your life? Like, what are the dreams you want to do? And I said, you know, I want to serve broken women. And sometimes that is going to look through the avenue of, you know, human trafficking victims. And sometimes that's just going to look like the mom that's at home that feels lonely, like just broken women in general. That's what I'm called to. And I really want to write. I love to write. Sometimes I even hide behind my words, almost prefer writing over speaking. It's like easier to, you know, create this beautiful poem versus grab a microphone and, you know, come across like with a ton of swag.
Yeah. You can edit yourself.
Exactly.
Hone it in until it's perfect.
Yeah. You don't see hives or like itchy feet through words, but when you grab a microphone, you're like, oh my gosh. But, anyway, so she looked at me and she's like, what is the call in your life? And I said, I really want to write. And I don't know what that looks like, whether it be on the, like, on women's hearts across a coffee table or whether it be through a book, but I know that God wants me to write. And so a couple days goes by and she called me and she's like, God told me that my role in your life is to hold you accountable to the dreams in your life. So I want you to write a book with me. I want to do a devotional. I want you to help me write it. So long story short, the next 4 months, we just like, and I had no idea, like writing, like the whole, so we wrote a devotional and we eventually published it the next year, but it was basically an accident. I thought this was just something that she was just being, you know, diligent with trying to pull me out of my comfort zone and actually do something. But what God was actually behind the scenes doing is building this whole new vision for this ministry that was already there, but just a whole new vision and strategy. So that was 2 years ago. We actually published the book the day that we arrived in Africa. And it was
Wow.
just crazy. Yeah. And so it's honestly always been just the heart behind it is just for girls to remember, like, fear. I'm not trying to create this fearless generation of women. Like, I don't want people to understand the definition of fearless means like riding a wave or climbing a mountain or whatever. I want people to understand that your greatest adventure of life is going to be to pursue a fearless God. And when you're, obviously we know like perfect love casts out fear. And so there are so many things in life. I'm not trying to have people not have fear. I'm just trying to create a movement of women that go on despite the fear. And so, yeah, it's just been honestly like it was when people ask about Fearless Girl, I'm like, honestly, it was an accident. I thought it was just me writing a book for fun. I thought maybe like six people would buy it and all six copies would be my dad and nobody would, be encouraged or whatever. And every single week we get tons of emails of girls all over the country, doing this Bible study and doing this. And it's just really funny because it was all, I mean, the whole book was written basically on my phone in my notes section, and I would send it over to her, and then we filmed this Bible study and everything felt so like just normal. You don't think, oh, well, all these other people in ministry have these huge cameras and they have all this equipment and they have assistants and this, and we don't have any of that. And that's what I love about it is it's like, you know what? Like, we are so homemade, and that is okay. We're like, eventually, of course, if we had the budget someday, I'd love to have nice things, but do what you can with what you got. So, yeah, so that's Fearless Girl basically initially started in the book, and the online course has been a huge gift. And I'm in the process right now of writing my second book called Fearless Mama.
Oh,
And
nice.
I can share a little bit more about that later, but it's obviously like motherhood and just what that all looks like. And just what that being a fearless mama actually looks like, so you can raise children that are able to, move past fear from if that's all they know, then they'll grow up fearless.
Oh, I love that. I can't wait to read that. That'll be really fun. Especially getting to kind of watch you like on Instagram do
Yeah,
the process.
totally.
So that's
Yeah,
fun.
yeah.
So you, in order to get these kiddos, you had to live in Africa.
We did, yes, which was not a not something we were planning on, but it was like just the seriously the hardest but the best season of my life. Do you want me to tell like this the quick
Yes,
spark notes
just
version?
well,
Okay.
you can take the long story.
Okay.
Tell us how this whole, I mean, you said
Okay.
you felt called to be an adoptive
Yes.
mama, but how did that all play out? How long had you guys been married? Like what did
Yes.
that look like?
Yes. So we had been married a year and 3 months, and it's a long story. But when we were married for 6 months, we just got back from the Philippines for a couple weeks, and I found out I was pregnant. And that was not a—I mean, we always knew we wanted family and whatnot, but that wasn't like a plan. We weren't planning on that. And I ended up being in an ectopic pregnancy, and it was a long, long, very obviously traumatic story. But we ended up losing the baby, and so I had always had this plan in my heart, like, okay, the first 3 to 5 years, let's just be married. But when that happened, we were like, oh my gosh, that really opened our hearts to actually a family from a young age. And I honestly didn't, I kind of had just made the decision in my head, well, when I'm 27, then we'll start the conversation to adding a family. But for now, let's just do, the quote unquote, travel and all those things that you think you can't do without kids. So anyway, one time on our trip, we were over in the Philippines doing just for our work, and God really kept highlighting the orphan to us. And we've been, when we're dating, we both knew it was a huge part, but he just really kept highlighting it. And my husband and I started talking about it, and we're like, you know what? We never thought we'd be this young doing it, and just even everything that happened this summer with the baby, my heart's just kind of starting to open to it. So let's just see, like, let's just keep moving forward and seeing what God is saying about it. And time went on, and just God kept bringing up all of these different things. And finally, after like 4 or 5 months of just really praying and dwelling on it, we felt the Holy Spirit say, yeah, just go pursue after my heart. And we weren't in this crazy rush where we were like, let's, oh, let's do this. It was just like, okay, God, and you'll put pauses on the door, you'll open doors, whatever. So, long story short, we were in the process. We started in Uganda originally. Being in the background that we're in, we're aware of how much corruption is in the adoption community with human trafficking. There's a lot of people that they'll say that they're orphans and then they'll get adopted and then they'll find out later that they weren't actually orphans and the parents, So there's a lot of corruption. And since we're in that industry, we're aware of it. And so we just went really slow. We were really cautious with which agency we went up with and asking certain questions, expecting certain answers. If they didn't answer that way, then we're like, okay, that's not a good, you know, agency that we want to move forward with. So anyway, we ended up choosing Liberia. You know, I was 23, Zach was 24. Wow. We were very young. There's very little organization, like countries that will allow you to adopt so young. And not only that, but we're full-time missionaries for this organization. We both are raising 100% of our support. International adoption starts around $45,000 per child. And so the process was crazy. We never applied for two children. And we kept all these people, like our group of friends, they'd say, gosh, I don't know why, but I just feel like you're going to get twins. You're going to get, you know, two. I just, God keeps telling me two. And every time someone would say, yeah, I think you're going to have two, I'd be like, will you shut up? Yeah. Like, you don't understand. This is taking all the faith in the world for one, and you're trying to tell me that I'm going to have two? Don't, because it just is, you know, I was like, seriously, stop.
Yeah.
And so anyway, all of our paperwork, we put one child, all of our paperwork, you know, everybody asks if you're open to special needs, and on the box it says either qualified or unqualified, and every box we would put unqualified. You know, we're not in a position right now where that's something that we feel like we'd really be graced for. And unbeknownst to us, you know, months later, we end up getting these photos of these two kids. And my husband had this rule throughout the adoption process that when you get news, we have to take a week to pray about it. Because I'm the type that's like, oh, yeah, let's do it. You know, like instantly. I'm absolutely, we've been praying for this for months. Absolutely. And Zach's like, no, we cannot make an emotional decision off of this. We need to sit and wait on the Lord. So they showed us these pictures of these two kids, and it's a long story, but basically they were already matched with someone else, but something had fallen through. And since they were matched with, you know, someone else, they had been together their whole lives, and they're not blood brother and sister, but the agency just said, we, you know, these are just, you know, the current situation, blah, blah, blah. And my husband said, we're going to take 21 days to pray about it. And I'm like, 21 days? Like, no way. I want to tell him like in an hour.
Yeah.
And so we took 21 days, and it was in that 21 days actually that the Lord even had birthed the Fearless Girl thing. That with it was that span of time that I had this conversations with Esther about Fearless Girl and a lot of different things. And so there's just a lot of movement within our dreams and whatnot. And so I remember my first thought was, they're not related, so it's going to be double the cost for these kids. And people don't understand, you know, we got a ton of just negative messages through social media saying, I can't believe it's so irresponsible of you to raise fundraise for this adoption, that you should be embarrassed and ashamed and whatever. And so it was just a tough spot. And so we had done a lot of fundraising through, you know, everything. I mean, I was up till hours of the night applying for grants. I'm not even a sewer, and I was making these macrames, trying to sell them. I mean, I was getting so creative. I was like looking around the house. Like our first payment, we sold our couch so that we could apply to adopt.
Wow.
And I remember for like 3 weeks, we just kept eating dinner on the floor. We're like, well, we don't have a couch, but hopefully, you know, by the time the kids come home, they'll be raised without a couch.
And
so it was just a crazy, crazy, even financial journey of just like, you know, deadlines, and God would always provide these crazy, I mean, anonymous donations, all this stuff. And so when they said two kids, we were like, oh my gosh, okay, like, this is crazy, but we just decided, all right, let's do it. And they told us that our son was, had some health complications. And so, 6 days after we said yes to these two kids, we thought, we don't know how we're going to pay for this, but let's just do it. And let's just trust the Lord. We got this phone call, and I was actually at work, and this grant organization responded, and they said, we were so blessed by your story and just everything. And that the fact that you said yes to two kids, we wanted to let you know that we're going to give you a grant, and it's going to cover the cost of the second adoption.
That's amazing.
And I remember, I remember falling to my knees and never feeling the holiness of God like I had in that moment. Like, it was like the fact that God actually cares about a quote unquote orphan. I hate to even use that term because I really believe their child, you know, I hate to add that.
Yeah.
But the fact that he actually cares enough, that he actually, that he really is the king of those that connects families. Like, it just, all of a sudden, I remember not even being, the guy probably thought I was crazy. I was like, are you serious? And then 3 days after that, another organization. And then literally, it was like within 10 days, we had gotten almost $45,000 in these grants. And it was like, there's something about a like financial miracle, you know, and you're
Yeah.
just like, oh. So anyway, a couple of weeks, I think it was a week and a half goes by, and we got a call from our agency, and who we just really respect, and they're so ethical, and they said, you know, Edie and Zach, we want to let you know your son is really, really sick, and you know, we think it's hepatitis B, and he has measles and pneumonia, and he's had malaria multiple times. That's just the nature of Liberia,
Yeah.
and so we just need to know. There are a lot of health complications, so if you don't want to move forward, you know, with adopting him, we would understand. And it was like a no-brainer. We were like, he's our son. No, like this is,
Yeah.
you know, happening. But then it was this weight of this person on the other side of the planet that doesn't know me, and I don't know him yet, but I'm fully attached to this boy. I can't hold, I can't comfort, and yet he's deathly ill. You know, like
Yeah.
what, how do you process that? How do you walk through that? What does that look like? And how do you trust God with that, you know?
Yeah.
And he just honestly was like, it was just a new type of obviously trust. And it was about from when we got matched to when we actually left for Africa, it was about, I think, 7 months. And we got on a one-way plane to Africa.
That's
We had no idea.
crazy.
Yeah, we had no idea how long we'd be there. We just, all the other families in process, one was in the process for 9 years, another one was 5 years. Like, it's, you know, the fourth poorest place on the planet, Ebola breakout, you know, like it's just extremely unstable. There was just so many things. And so as far as we were concerned, we were moving there for an
Wow.
extended period. We had no idea. I had never been a mom. You know, some people have just like motherly instincts, and I there are motherly instincts I think I have, but when it comes to just things like what, like I'm like, what kind of bottle do I get? Like I was in the Philippines for 7 weeks. And then I came home for 4 days, and then we moved to Africa. So I
Wow.
bought everything on Amazon Prime. I was like, you know, are they like, do I need formula? Like, do babies eat formula still when they're 11 months old? And like, you know, and so
Yeah.
it was just this, like, I wish I would have somehow recorded that season of my life, because I remember just laughing my way through, like, I'm about to get the biggest prank of all time when they hand me this baby and I'm not going to know what to do with it. You know, it was just so funny. And so, yeah, we get on a one-way plane to Africa, and it was just absolute crazy. I have so much honor and just a deep love for obviously my children's home country. I got deathly sick with malaria and typhoid, and that was a whole thing in itself. But you know, our kids, they were two very different attachment stories. Our son was very, very sick. He transitioned with us first because he was so sick, he needed one-on-one attention. And so he just instantly loved us. It was like this weird thing, you know, it's very romantic idea with an adoption that you pray and hope for, but it's very rare that it actually happens. And so, anyway, they handed him to Zach, and instantly he just melted into Zach's chest. And it was honestly just really supernatural. And then the opposite with our daughter. It was just this journey of like being hit and being just she, it was such a journey. I remembered looking at Zach and said, if I ever convince you to let us adopt again, do not let me, because I cannot stand this rejection. I cannot stand it. Like, you know, I didn't have any comfort of like anything. I couldn't Google methods of, you know, like I couldn't, there was no resource other than the Holy Spirit. And so, honestly, we were like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to be consistent with feedings. We're going to be consistent with bedtime structures and stories. And that is it. And we'll just hope and pray that over time she trusts that we'll provide for her. And then we'll hope that she loves us. And sure enough, it was about 6 to 8 weeks of her just screaming. I mean, Zach would walk in the room and she would just skirt, like totally lose it. And so
And how old was she when
eventually,
you got her?
she was 2 years old and like 5 months, and then
Okay.
Asa was 2.5 months when we got him. And so it was honestly still this day the biggest battle. And it's now, you would guess that I birthed this child. She is a, like, she's just like, I always tell everyone she's going to be either a gang leader or the president of Liberia, because she's got so much passion and just leadership. Like, she's just radical. This girl is amazing. And she is yeah, her name is Esther Birdwell, and we call her Birdie. And then our son is Asa Kingsman. And so, long story short, it was a miracle. We got home in 4 months, and that was something we were not expecting, and it was a total gift. And we knew that our son was really sick, and so when we got home, that was our first priority to figure out what exactly is going on. And after being home for 2.5 months, we finally, after multiple tests, found out our son was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And I remember when they first told us that they thought he might have it, I remember thinking, I didn't even know what it was, but I remember thinking, I don't even need to learn how to spell it because he just won't have it. Like, I just was convincing myself, he won't have it. I don't know how to spell this. I don't need to research it. He is not going to have it. And, you know, when he got the diagnosis, it was such a shock to me. We were at the airport getting ready to actually board a plane. And I honestly, it's a terminal genetic illness, and it's, there's currently no cure, and there's just a lot to it. And it's a very, very ugly, ugly disease with the nature of how it progresses. And, I just honestly, the whole plane, I just wept and held him like I'd never held him. And, so this whole process, like, if you would have ever asked me, my biggest fear, it would have been that I would have a sick child. And I'm not sitting here claiming that I have this really sick child, but it's just, I say that to say the biggest obstacle, my biggest fear is that I would be inadequate of a person to care and, like, actually, you know, like, and it's just been such a thing with God. Like, it has been such a journey where he's like, babe, you are so qualified to love this boy. You are so qualified to be his mom. You are so qualified to, you know, and there's moments where I'm like, but God, I don't want to go to therapy. I don't want to go do his blood again this week. I don't want to have to fly all over the country for these special doctors. And God's like, my glory is being displayed through this. Like, in the nastiest situation that I wouldn't ever ask on anybody, somehow God is meeting us in it. And it's been such a journey. I honestly cannot get emotional thinking about it. So, so Asa's just our champion. He's the happiest little boy. He, you know, there's a lot of research going on with Duchenne, and I've just learned how to just be patient with him and go at his pace. And, you know, we teach therapy for what it is. And we're just believing that God is going to honestly radically move it through doctors, through, you know, just whatever, however God wants to show up through his body and through this condition. We're believing for it. So, that's kind of our story of adoption and my kid, all of that.
Ladies, we're going to get real for a second, and we're going to talk about periods, because this week's sponsor is Lola. You've heard me talk about them before because I'm pretty passionate about the things we're putting on our bodies and in our bodies, and a lot of times feminine hygiene products are something that we don't really like to talk about or we don't even really think about. But let's think about it for a second. The FDA doesn't require brands to disclose a comprehensive list of ingredients in their feminine care products, so most of them don't. Major brands use a mix of synthetic ingredients in their products, including rayon and polyester. Their feminine care products may also be treated with harsh chemical cleansing agents, fragrances, and dyes. Lola products are 100% pure organic cotton. And beyond just being a great product that you don't have to worry about, Lola makes your month easier because it's a subscription service. It shows up right to your door. No more embarrassing fumbling through trying to get through a checkout line with some young teenage kid. You know what I mean? And the subscription is fully customizable, so you can choose your mix of products, your perfect fit for absorbency, number of boxes, and frequency of delivery. Lola's subscription service is super flexible. You can change, skip, or cancel at any time. It's founded by women for women. Clearly, they really thought of everything when they created their company. They're now offering pads and liners, as well as non-applicator tampons for those looking for a more environmentally friendly option. I'm a huge fan of Lola. I think that my favorite thing is probably their panty liners. They're awesome, and they come in a little package so that they're easy to slip in my purse. And I really think that you're gonna like Lola's products too. So if you want to try it out, you can get 40% off all subscriptions when you visit mylola.com and enter the code LOVELY when you subscribe. Again, that's 40% off all subscriptions. That's huge. Just go to mylola.com and enter the code LOVELY to make your period a little bit easier. Even though you say, like, oh, my life is so regular and everything, but it's not something most people experience. And then when you add in your mothering journey, it's like, wow, just to see someone who's so committed and so on fire for the Lord that you've taken all these big radical steps in your life. And though I'm sure it can feel heavy at times, looking from the outside in, it's like, what a beautiful masterpiece God is painting with your life, with someone who's willing to be the paintbrush. Like,
thank you.
It's just really, really amazing to watch. So
Appreciate that so much.
Yeah, I was so blown away when you spoke at the conference, and you have that magnetic kind of personality where you're like, you just want to know about this girl because how did she
Oh,
do
thank
it?
you.
But then it's so evident that you just are so filled with God's love and you're so committed to following his leading that it's really inspiring to just get to witness. So it's,
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really amazing. So what does a typical day look like for you guys?
Oh my gosh. Well, I guess it depends on what day of the week. I have my amazing mother-in-law watches our kids 3 days a week. So then I can, do a lot of the Fearless Girl stuff that we're building and rebranding and all that kind of stuff. So we'll just say the days where they're not, let's just say the morning of a Thursday. This morning we woke up. This doesn't always happen, but my husband made coffee and had the kids make pancakes and brought me breakfast in bed because I watched Cold Dark until 4 in the morning. So
you just can't
they brought
help
me
it.
Coffee. No, I can't. I can't help it. So I never watch movies that late. I'm usually to bed so early. But
Cold
so we
Dark.
Woke up, made breakfast. I know. And I had my, what I do is I make sure that the kids are used to reading books in the morning. I don't want to get in this rhythm of anything else. And so while I read my Bible, our kids will get, I mean, they have a little Bible, but they're like totally not into that. They get some type of picture book. And so we all sit there and just cultivate a little bit of silence and private time. And then we all eat breakfast usually. And then depending on the day, usually on Thursdays, we try and do something fun. I'm trying to get creative with, I felt really convicted because I'm not the most creative mom on earth, but
I don't know if
really
that needs to be convicted over. Let's give ourselves some grace there.
For sure. Well, I just resort to being just the lazy, you know, and so we have gotten all these garage sale items this summer where we can sit at a table and be artistic. And so today it looked like having a keyboard. So Asa had a keyboard, Birdie did a painting. It was really fun. Then we went to go play with a friend. Usually we try and get some social time with some friends during the week. Then we have lunch, we have naps. Then sometime in the afternoon, usually depending on like my crazy meter, how crazy I am, we go to Target at least 3 times a week just with the kids so then they understand that is the place. Bernie, if you ask my daughter what her dream day is, she'll say, I want to go to Starbucks, I want to go to Target, and then I want to go to Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, you are so basic.
That is
it's not
hilarious.
Even Yeah, so we'll usually just run some errands and then and then we always have family dinner on Mondays and Wednesdays. We don't plan anything so then we can make sure as a family we're spending time together. And then usually some type of bedtime story. And then bed, I try to put them to bed by 8:30 so that I can have a solid like 2 hours to myself before going down. But that's our normal, average, not sexy, mundane life.
But there was something I saw on Insta Stories recently that I was like, dang, girl. So you don't put your kids down for a nap at the same time?
I don't. Well, I try not to. Today I did because I had to call you.
Yeah.
But usually I put my son down at like 12:30, maybe sometimes 12. And then I'll have at least 30 to 45 minutes with just Birdie by herself. And then I'll put Birdie down. And then usually they end up picking up at the same time.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
How long have you been on that schedule?
Well, I would say maybe like 4 or 5 months, but it's not always executed. It just, I mean, some days in a perfect world, that's what I love to do just because, Asa gets so much of our attention because he just needs so much extra help. And so with our daughter Birdie, it's like, we had to intentionally make sure we're carving out private time with her. And for example, today is her first day of gymnastics and she starts school this week. So right before
fun.
I called you, we just got back from Target. She picked out her clearance gymnast outfit and she is so excited. And so we just make sure to plan things where we can take just Birdie. So then it's like, this is for you. You know, our daughter's like an Olympic athlete and then our son has these special needs. Isn't all, you know, really behind motor skills and, you know, everything. He can't jump. And so it's such a hard balance to really, really serve our daughter with her gifts and then really be able to be patient with our son because he wants to do those things, but he can't.
Yeah.
So it's attention that we haven't learned to execute quite yet, but it's always trial and error and just getting her enrolled in all the extra stuff that we can has been a huge, huge, huge change. So
Yeah. Well,
be
you're
good.
doing an amazing job of it, and
Thank you,
that is
Mackenzie.
serious intentional mothering to because most
Gosh.
moms are just like, nap time, man, I swear by that nap time, and
Totally.
I'm not dogging on anybody because I do a
Oh,
lot
for
of the
sure.
time. You know, it was
Yeah, and I
like
do too. Yeah.
God's, you know, light shone down when I could get all my children asleep or occupied at the
Oh.
same time in the afternoon,
Well,
you
you
know.
have four. I
I
think
do.
two is like,
Yeah. Well, and they're a range of ages, so it wasn't like I ever had all four of them asleep at the same time. But
Oh, yeah, that
yeah.
you should get like a world record for that. That's
Oh.
crazy.
Well, they're, you know, once they get older, they're more like they can be self-sufficient and, you know, so
I
it's
can't wait. I'm
yeah.
so excited for that day. I can't wait till Birdie can start changing diapers. I try and train her, and then it's just a
Right.
mess. But I'm like, Birdie, come on. You got this, girl. Help me
Yeah.
raise this boy.
Yeah, no kidding. I know. And now it's like I have got a 12-year-old, and then you're looking at the 3-year-old like, come on already.
Yeah,
Like, gonna
seriously.
get on
Are
with
you
this
just
year.
advanced?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so what
So
does the
funny.
future look like for you guys? Do you think you will adopt more, or are you even
Yeah.
looking down that road yet, or?
Totally. Yeah, I would love, my husband and I would love to adopt more. I always say my rule is that I want to ha always have a Suburban. I don't want to have to get a 12 passenger van.
Yes.
So, now that it's like man-to-man defense, I can't imagine going to zonal defense and having
Yeah.
any more quite yet.
Yeah.
I think that we'll probably have children biologically probably in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
But we'll see. And then eventually we would love to adopt. I have a huge heart for domestic adoptions too. And obviously I've done almost all of my work in Asia. So I
Yeah.
think that we'll just have a little melting pot of culture in our family. That's what we've always dreamed of.
I
But
love
it's just
that.
funny how you can feel the grace because we get that all the time. People always ask us, are you guys going to adopt again? And the feeling of peace, like, obviously the peace of God when you're like, when we started the adoption process, we were like nothing, despite all the opinions, we were like, God is telling us to do this.
Yeah.
But right now, if I said, let's go, let's just see what happens, I feel total anxiety. I feel like there is
Yeah.
like no peace in like that right now. So it's so interesting how that is navigating family and all that kind of stuff. But
Yeah,
yeah, I think we'll
absolutely.
definitely grow as a family in the next 2 or 3 years. Every single night before we go to bed, Birdie prays for a baby to be in my tummy, and I'm like, careful,
Oh.
the prayers of the faith of a
Yeah.
child is very scary.
Oh, that's
So
hilarious.
yeah, we'll see, but it will be a blessing whenever it happens, but we're not in any rush to add any more mouths to feed right now.
Yeah, that is so funny because when I was trying to get pregnant with my first daughter, I would always tell my son at the time, who was 5, like, God hears the prayers of small children. Pray for a sister. Please pray for a sister.
Totally. Totally. They're dangerous for sure.
Yeah, that's funny.
So funny.
Okay, so how are you currently cultivating loveliness in this wildlife of yours?
Oh my goodness, cultivating loveliness. First off, I love that term. Even when you preached at the conference, I was like, oh, I just
Oh,
want to get tattooed on
thank
my
you.
face. But cultivating loveliness, I think in this season of my life, there are so many things that are, really, really lovely, and even through social media, seem so beautiful. But right now, for me to continue being lovely as a mom, or as a wife, or as a friend, or whatever, I am learning the holiness of silence. And so, my husband and I have been doing this thing where when we wake up, the first 10 minutes, we are fully silent. We don't look at our phone. We don't go to the kids because we hear them crying. We are fully silent. And it has been such a game changer just to slow our heart down and just to slow our mind down. I'm always thinking 900 different things at a time. I'm a scatterbrain. I want to think I can multitask, and I never do. And so, as again, unsexy as it sounds, how I'm cultivating loveliness right now is just really, really grasping my first 10 minutes of silence in the day and just allowing my mind to be a place, okay, just silent. And then I can enter into my reading time. I can pray. I can do these things where I'm engaging, with the Lord. But it's like I'm going to be silent, and I'm just
Yeah.
going to breathe, and it's going to be really, really special, and it's going to just allow my mind to just,
Yeah.
embrace this and start the day off well. So
That's really good.
that's, yeah. And the other thing I would say, cultivating loveliness, is eating. My husband and I are doing the keto, and I am not a person that does that kind of stuff. And
Yeah.
so it's challenged me to learn how to get creative with
Yeah.
just like, feeding our family. And so
Yep.
it's been actually a fun challenge. I'm not really killing it in that area either, but just being like, okay, wow, let's do this. Okay, and the kids can help me. I don't have to do it by myself. And
Yeah.
so silence and food, baby. That is how I'm
Go
cultivating loveliness.
you. I like it. Yeah, neither
Yes.
one is particularly easy, but good for you
For
for
sure.
giving it a good go round. Well, I think how I am currently cultivating loveliness, it's kind of hard to say because things have been so crazy and I mean, my kids started school the day that we're recording this, so by the time it comes out,
Yeah,
it'll be
yeah.
a couple weeks ago, but this is the first time ever we've been homeschoolers up until now, and there's been getting my new podcast out and keeping the old podcast rolling and
Yes.
like really trying to, now that they're in school, like, okay, mama's got to step up to the plate and do even more to try to provide for us. And so there's a lot of juggling and just kind of figuring out. And at the same time, so I've been going to counseling for the past year after coming out of my very difficult marriage.
Love it.
And
Yes.
my counselor said, like, you're done. Like, you've totally done what you came here to do. You're graduated. I'm shoving you out of the nest. And I really do feel like I had done so much heart work and so much like grappling with what is true and what is not, and what is true about myself, and what is true about God, and all of those things that was so good and so needed to happen. I think she
Wow.
was right. I
So
really
good.
grappled with a lot of those things, but I had really come to rely on that hour a week that I knew was kind of set aside where I was going to sort out all of my emotions from the
Yeah,
past week and
so good.
everything that had happened. And so now, not having that, it's kind of having to take responsibility for that in a bigger way and realize,
Yeah.
like, I still need that time to sort everything in my brain. And so I've been trying to pick up my journal a little bit more and just like, even
So
if it's
good.
10 or 15 minutes or whatever, allowing myself to write down all the things that are on my mind or what emotions I'm feeling or what things I've been confronted with, and just really not just letting them build up or become confusing or chaotic, but really trying to still take that time to sort things out and remember what truth is. And it's not always
So good.
easy, but I think it's really necessary to do that. And I don't even think I realized how necessary it was until I didn't have that set aside hour every week. So
Yes,
that's been
that's
really good.
so good.
Yeah.
Yes, and you'll
Work in
look back on the
progress.
season and be like, wow, the loveliness in that season was fought for. That's just so
Yes.
powerful.
Yes. Very, very fought for. Okay. Are you ready for the stock questions?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, candles or essential oil diffuser?
Oh, both? Or do I have to pick one?
You can say both. It's not the
I
first
guess I
time.
do both.
I know. It's hard to choose. Okay,
I
cloth
know.
napkins or paper?
Oh, paper.
Okay, that was an easy one. City
Oh,
or country?
that's a hard one. I'm gonna go with city.
Okay, paper or digital?
I'm gonna go with paper. I'm
Okay.
old school.
Shopping, would you rather do it online or in the store?
Ooh, that's hard. Probably online because then I have more time
Yeah.
to watch Netflix and scroll dark.
So true. Okay, it's 4 o'clock or whatever time you make dinner and you need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or to music?
usually always a podcast.
And what are some of your favorites?
I listen to Christine Kane and Lisa Bevere and the Gold Digger Jenna Kutcher podcast
Okay.
weekly.
Awesome. Okay, chocolate, milk or dark?
Milk, totally. 100%
Okay. Sports or no sports?
sports.
All right. Live broadcasting. Would you rather broadcast or watch?
Ooh, that's hard. Probably broadcast.
Okay. What is your favorite movie?
Titanic.
Ooh, I don't think anybody said that.
Oh,
That's fun. How old were you when Titanic came out?
I was 7 years old,
Okay.
and I went to the theater 13 times to see it.
That's
Which
hilarious.
is like, I know, I can't believe actually that my parents allowed it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay. I was heading into the eighth grade, so
Oh my gosh, that's
yeah.
awesome.
Yep. Okay, where would you put yourself on the crunchiness spectrum if 0 is totally not crunchy and 10 is like singing Kumbaya by the fire with your legs unshaven and dreadlocks in your hair?
Oh gosh, that's a great question. I'm gonna have to say that's a scale of what? 1 to 10?
Or 0 to 10.
Oh, 0 to 10. Okay, I'm gonna have to say that I'm a 4
Okay.
because, you know, I do own a pair of Chacos and I
Yeah.
did live in Africa and I do love, you know, all those things. I can totally get by,
And
but
you're
I
eating
would,
keto.
yes, totally eating keto, but non-crunchy because I do love, you know, a good pair of jeans and heels and wearing makeup. So
All
right down
right.
the middle, 4.
All right. That sounds good. Well, thank you so much. It was such a joy to hear your story, Evie. I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, I'm so grateful. Thank you for just honestly, I'm honored. I'm so honored. So hopefully it won't be the last time.
Yes, hopefully not. It was really fun to chat with you.
Yes.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Isn't Evie such a hoot? And she's super inspiring as well. So if you want to find links to all of her things and where she's at, and make sure you definitely find her on Instagram, you can go over to our show notes at boldturquoise.com/082 to get all of those links. And I'm sure she would love to really hear from you and be able to connect with you also. Thanks for leaving those ratings and reviews in iTunes, ladies. They make such a difference. Tell your friends about the show, get them involved. And if you haven't hopped over to the same page yet, you're definitely going to want to go listen to it with your kids. We are getting so many great responses, and I would love for it to be able to be a staple in your life as well. So look for the same page on iTunes, Stitcher, all those great places, and you can also find it at thesamepagepodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening, ladies. I love getting to be a part of your lives in this very small way, and I love hearing from you. I've had so much fun chatting with a lot of you on Instagram lately. We've been having a lot of good back and forth and questions and answers. It's been a blast. So if you haven't found me on Instagram, then make sure you head over and look for @MackenzieCoppa. I would love to see you there. Okay, until next time, go be bold and gracious.